From Vermont Public Radio, this is The Frequency. I'm Anna Van Dyne.
And I'm Henry Epp. It's Monday, June 13th. Here are today's headlines.
If you drove anywhere this weekend, you probably noticed the price of gas, which continues to go up. At over $5 a gallon, the average price of gas continues to break records in Vermont. And for the state's dairy farmers, even a jump in the price of milk isn't enough to offset the increased expense of not only fuel, but grain and fertilizer, too. That's according to Brian Nichols. He milks 100 cows and manages 300 acres at Speedwell Farms in Lindenville. Nichols says he's still in the business only because his milk checks have increased.
The price of milk has gone up 33%, but everything else has doubled, so it just don't fill out.
562 farms currently ship milk in Vermont, down more than 40% from a decade ago.
Students studying early childhood education at a handful of Vermont schools can get their degrees paid for in full by the state. That's if they stay and work as educators after graduating, says Marilyn Cargill with the Vermont Student Assistance Corporation.
The state of Vermont is really trying to address a workforce development problem and an affordability problem, and this is a fabulous way to do it.
The loan forgiveness program will be offered for the first time this fall and will run for at least 2 years. Applications have already opened for a pot of money totaling $500,000.
An ongoing staffing crisis at the Department of Public Safety is forcing the state to make changes to how emergency calls are handled, for example, dialing 911. Public Safety Commissioner Michael Sherling says the state is hiring for almost 24 open positions. The state is asking local police departments to begin fielding all non-emergency calls. And Sherling says the dispatch centers in Williston and Westminster will ask local agencies to take on more follow-up and non-emergency calls to ease the workload.
And now it's time for bonus data. Today's number is $284,356.80. That's the highest salary of any Vermont state employee. It belongs to Dr. Elizabeth Bundock, the state's chief medical examiner. The medical examiner's office investigates deaths in Vermont to determine their cause. According to the state's open data portal, the top four state employee salaries all belong to people in medical fields. Governor Phil Scott has the fifth highest state salary at about $192,000 a year. Other statewide officials make less. Attorney General T.J. Donovan makes $145,000 a year, while the auditor, treasurer, and secretary of state each make about $120,000. Lieutenant Governor Molly Gray's salary is $81,000.
Coming up, a record number of people died from opioid overdoses last year. We'll hear the story of one of those Vermonters after this.
Thanks for tuning in to The Frequency, and thanks to VITA for their support. VITA, celebrating 50 years of helping Vermont businesses grow and thrive. From agriculture to energy, startups to established companies, find solutions that fit your business. Visit VEDA.org to start your next chapter.
The Vermont Health Department recently reported the highest yearly total of fatal opioid overdoses the state has ever recorded. 215 Vermonters died of opioid overdoses last year. And I'm going to tell you about one of them. His name was Matthew Hayes. When Christina Heading got married last September, her younger brother Matthew stood by her side. He was the maid of honor. Christina says it started as sort of a joke.
But he was. Yeah, my maid of honor. He stood right next to me, held my flowers.
He wore a tan suit and a salmon-colored tie. There were wildflowers pinned to his lapel.
The last time I saw my brother, actually, was that Saturday night, the 18th, when, you know, the wedding was over and we were still partying.
3 days later, Matthew was found lying on the bed in room 218 at the Econo Lodge in Montpelier. He'd died of an opioid overdose, one of 215 Vermonters in 2021, the highest number of fatal opioid overdoses the state has ever recorded. This surge coincides with the COVID-19 pandemic, a prolonged period of isolation, stress, loneliness, and anxiety.
I think COVID killed my brother, but like not actual COVID. I think the whole thing.
Christina says the final straw for him wasn't the disease or the world in disarray, but the systems set up to help people through it all and the cracks that opened up between them. Matthew Hayes grew up in Waterbury in central Vermont. His parents divorced when he was around 7, and he was raised primarily by his dad. Matthew was a lonely kid. His parents say he was diagnosed with depression in elementary school, and he struggled with anxiety. He started working in restaurants downtown when he was 14, first as a dishwasher and eventually as a line cook. He wore tie-dye t-shirts and had gauges in his ears. He loved working on cars, Subarus especially. He and his mother, Terry Brillen Hayes, would drive down back roads with the radio on.
Play that music louder, Mom. Turn that music up. And we like the classic rock. We don't listen to country.
He would pull into his sister Christina's driveway in Salisbury in a car with no muffler. He'd often spend weekends with her and would go to her for advice. She was almost 16 when he was born and was something in between a sister, a mother, and a friend. As a teenager, Matthew got in trouble here and there, shoplifting from the gas station, snorting prescription Adderall. He began smoking weed, started partying. His father, Greg Hayes, wasn't too worried about it.
In my own mind, it was innocent and growing up, so I didn't think it was harmful.
But after Matthew graduated high school in 2018, it became clear that something was wrong. His dad noticed that he was feeling down on himself, working in the back of a restaurant in his hometown while his friends started to head off to college, get new jobs, and have babies. Matthew's mom noticed mounting legal issues, mostly car stuff, like speeding and driving without registration.
And I could see that they were going to get bigger.
And they did. He got his first DUI in May 2018. He went on to get a handful of driving citations. He started stealing from his dad. A relationship ended with a restraining order against him. After the breakup, he stole his ex's computer and slashed her new boyfriend's tires, according to court records. And soon, it came out that Matthew had another problem. He'd started smoking crack cocaine. Christina remembers the moment he told her. They were sitting on the swing set at her house in Salisbury.
And I turned to him, I was like, crack, Matthew? You know, like, you're better than that. You're not a crackhead. You didn't grow up in a crack house.
His addiction got worse throughout 2019, along with his mental health. In February of that year, his family says he experienced a psychotic episode and was quickly diagnosed with schizophrenia. And in March of 2020, he went through another breakup. Only this time, he didn't slash the new boyfriend's tires. He texted someone a photo of a hunting knife and the words, "He's dying." So, at the beginning of the pandemic, when Vermont prisons kept people isolated for nearly 24 hours a day, Matthew went to jail. Christina remembers him calling her, crying.
And he was alone in a cell. And you can't talk to the people. Hey, I'm having a really hard time. You think I can come out of here for 5 minutes? It's not okay.
His family says he was there for more than a month. When he got out, his mental health declined further. And he still had a drug addiction. Only now, thanks in part to programs designed to help people struggling in the pandemic, he had new ways to pay for it. He was living with his dad at the time, who says he started getting pandemic unemployment assistance. And then there was federal stimulus money.
They just handed him thousands of dollars, which were gone overnight for crack, I think, you know, drugs.
It got to be too much. And in the spring of 2021, his dad kicked him out.
I told him, I love you unconditionally. I love you, but it's black and white with the drugs.
During the pandemic, the state set up a program using federal COVID relief money to provide anyone experiencing homelessness a room in a hotel or motel across the state. And in the summer of 2021, Matthew bounced around motels in Barrie and Montpelier. He had an addiction, cash on hand, and a room to himself. Christina says, in hindsight, sending him there was one of the worst things they could have done.
We're like, here's a bunch of money, and also all of your neighbors will assist you in, you know, getting these drugs.
The last time Matthew Hayes saw his family was at Christina's wedding in September. It rained that day. Christina remembers her brother, the maid of honor, dancing and smiling. He told her he was happy to be there.
And he'd high-five me. And I'm like, I'm happy you're here. He's like, wouldn't miss it. So just real big smile.
The next morning, Matthew and his mom drank coffee on the porch and watched the sun rise. And then it was time for him to head back to room 218 at the Econo Lodge.
Come on, Mom, give me a hug. Give me a hug. I gotta get going. And then he'd hug me with those big arms.
And a few days later, on September 21st, Matthew's dad found him in his room at the Econo Lodge. He says he was lying diagonally on the bed, fully dressed, with a crack pipe in his hand. It was his 22nd birthday. An autopsy found the levels of crack and fentanyl in his system were each enough to cause death. The women who allegedly sold him the drugs are facing felony charges. They've both pleaded not guilty. Christina thinks about her brother all the time. She remembers him as a little kid, snuggling with her on the couch. She can picture him as a teenager, in the driver's seat of the car. And the last night she saw him, an almost 22-year-old, standing at her side with a bouquet of flowers.
Thanks for listening to The Frequency today.
We had additional reporting from Lexi Krupp, Elodie Reed, and Howard Weiss-Tisman.
Our executive producer is Mark Davis, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Henry Epp.
And I'm Anna Van Dyne. Talk to you tomorrow.
How are we supposed to fix what we don't talk about? Welcome to Homegoings, a Vermont Public podcast that encourages fearless conversations about art and race.
It's like an extended family, and especially around homegoing time.
Join us for Homegoings, wherever you get your podcasts. We're a proud member of the NPR network.